Jewish audio on Chabad.org.
The 32nd Shir of Rambam once again addresses the 19th mitzvah of the Torah, which is the commandment that we should bless Hashem for the food that we ate after we reached satiation. Yesterday we learned that the biblical obligation of Berachat HaMazon is only applicable after satiation. And we talked a little bit about the verbiage that the Rambam uses in this 19th mitzvah. So today I want to begin, first of all, by focusing on the actual words, the verbiage that the Rambam uses, and to have a little bit of a deeper understanding of that, and I want to share some details about Berachat HaMazon and blessings in general. So first and foremost, the Rambam's words, when he talks about the 19th mitzvah of the Torah, are Hatzivui Shenitztavinu, the commandment that we were given, Lahodot Lo Yitaleh, to thank God Achar Kol Achila, to thank God after eating. So, what's so unique about that? Because the truth is that the Rambam himself tells us that one of the obligations of Birchat HaMazon is to thank your host. Actually, have a mitzvah to thank the person for whose home you ate at. This is part of the harachamans, you say. And it seems that this is actually derived exegetically from the verses of the Torah. But the Rambam is very careful when he chooses his words. He says that's not the mitzvah. The biblical mitzvah, the commandment is to bless God. It's a mitzvah, or it's appropriate, it's part of the blessing, is to bless God for the land of Israel. That's why, as we're going to explain in a few moments, the blessing of Berachat HaMazon actually breaks into a number of different sections. That's true. And the pasuk does finish al ha'aretz ha'tova asher nasan lach, that you have to thank God for the good land that He has given you. It's true that it's part of the Torah's call. It's true it's part of a Jew's obligation towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his sacred duty that he thanks God not only for the food, but he thanks God for the land of Israel. And ultimately, this is also connected to Yerushalayim and Hashem's presence. It's all true. But the mitzvah, the actual commandment, is nitzavino lahodot lo. The actual commandment is we have to thank Hashem, and this is achar kol achila, after we eat, as it says, v'yachalta v'sevata uverachta. It's Hashem alikecha. Now, it's been pointed out that it says the Rambam adds the word v'gomer, which the English equivalent would be etc. So some maintain that this etc. the Rambam may be alluding to other things as well, but on a simple level, it is certainly reasonable to say that the Rambam in the book of mitzvahs hones in onto what is the mitzvah itself, not what you're obligated to. In the book of Mishneh Torah, he talks about the halacha, the din, what you're obligated to do. But the actual mitzvah is blessing Hashem. So that's the first thing I wanted to clarify. This observation, by the way, is essentially based on a much longer and more sophisticated, nuanced rumination of the Rebbe on the idea of Berachat HaMazon, with a number of detailed analysis about the language that the Alter Rebbe uses in the various compilations that he put together for the mitzvah of reciting Berachot. So let's talk about the actual Berachat HaMazon. Fulfillment of the 19th mitzvah of the Torah, how do we do it? So the order of Berachat HaMazon is that there are four blessings. The first one is called Berachat HaZon, the blessing of sustenance. I acknowledge that all of our ability to exist, all of our being sustained, comes from our Kadosh Baruch Hu, from Almighty God. The second thing is Berachat HaAretz, I thank God for the land of Israel. This is also known as the bracha of Hoda'ah. It's a blessing of thanksgiving, of acknowledgement. Israel. The third blessing is called Bonei Yerushalayim. This is the blessing of Jerusalem. The fourth blessing is the blessing of Hatov V'Hametiv. And now we're going to talk a little bit about these unique blessings. The first blessing, where does it come from? Where does that phraseology hail from, this idea of thanking Hashem for being Zan, for sustaining us? So the Rambam tells us, quoting our sages in the Gemara Masechet Brachot, that this is Moshe Rabbeinu Tiknuha. This was established by none other than Moses himself. When the manna fell, the Jewish people were sustained with lechem min hashamayim. Moshe Rabbeinu arranged this blessing. The second blessing, the blessing on acknowledging the gift of Eretz Yisrael, was established, arranged by Yehoshua, Joshua, who led us into the land. The third blessing was a conjunction of efforts and poetry, prophetic poetry written by David HaMelech, and by Shlomo HaMelech. So The David HaMelech talks about the holiness of Yerushalayim in and of itself. And Shlomo HaMelech adds, Habayit HaGadol VaHakadosh, talking about the Beit HaMikdash. This bracha sometimes also is known as the bracha of Nechama, the bracha of comfort. Hashem will comfort us. City of Yerushalayim will be rebuilt. The Beit HaMikdash will be able to rise once again in its rightful place. Now, of course, you can ask me a simple question over here. We have a rule that all of the prayers were established by the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, the men of the Great Assembly. This is taking us into the post-Purim era, which is only about 23, 24 centuries ago. So if the brachas are not established, they're not, the actual syntax and the liturgy is not arranged in its exact form until the time of Anshei Knesset HaGdola, how can we say that Moshe Rabbeinu arranged it? And furthermore, if Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who composed this prayer, how can we have four versions of it? Like, who is doing it wrong? Something doesn't make sense here. So the simple answer is that Moshe Rabbeinu did not coin the exact verbiage of our bracha of Birchat HaMazon. The general gist, the general the expressions that are found in Birchat HaMazon, this was arranged by Moshe Rabbeinu. And even though Ikar Birchat HaMazon Min HaTorah, even though it's a biblically mandated mitzvah, the matbeya of the brachot, the actual style, the actual liturgy, the actual syntax of the blessings was arranged by the prophets. That's what the Kesef Mishnah comments on the Rambam in the name of Ramban. And the Mefarshim of the Gemara explain that certainly in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, they also acknowledged some of the details which are found in Birchat HaMazon, without a question. But the primary thrust of Birchat HaMazon was the contribution of Moshe Rabbeinu. Yehoshua then further developed Birchat HaMazon. In the days of David HaMelech, when Yerushalayim was established, they further developed Birchat HaMazon. They broadened it into a third blessing that focused on Yerushalayim. In the time of Shlomo HaMelech, that blessing was completed and perfected by his son Shlomo. And this is the way Birchat HaMazon was comprised of three sections, and so it was for many centuries. When the second Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, the Jewish people came very, very close to the end of our existence. It's a very precarious time for us. And it was only the flame of Torah that was kept burning by Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and his disciples who escaped to the north of Israel that sustained us, that enabled us to overcome the terrible ravages of the destruction of the Second Commonwealth and the Second Beit HaMikdash. 67 years later, a man named Bar Kokhba leads a rebellion against the Romans. For 2 years, there was true independence in Judea. For 2 years, the Romans sought to quell this rebellion, and eventually they succeeded. You probably know more about Matsada, which was a final holdout. But the real last holdout was in a city called Beitar. And that's where Bar Kokhba, who many of the sages, including Rabbi Akiva, believed was the Mashiach. He had the potential to be the destined savior of the Jewish people. He ended up being in the city, in this fortress, in Beitar, and in the end the Romans slaughtered everybody. And it was a terrible situation. When that happened, the Romans, in their cruelty, said nobody was going to bury the dead. There's tens of thousands of corpses, and there they lied for a number of years. And then the Romans gave permission that they can come and bury the dead. And when they came into the city of Beitar and saw these thousands of corpses, they saw something amazing. They didn't find skeletons. They didn't find human remains. They found whole bodies, as if they had just been killed. So the sages established the fourth blessing, which is in the times of the Mishnah, which is called Hatov V'Hametiv. That's the fourth blessing. And the fourth blessing is generally understood to be a codicil, a rabbinic addition that comes later on, and therefore there are certain leniencies about the fourth blessing. Now you're going to ask me, for this we have a whole blessing? That they got bodies to bury? I mean, it's very nice to bury Jewish burials, a big mitzvah. But come on, I mean, like, is there no greater miracle? So the explanation to that in a word is like this. God loves his Jewish people, so we want to believe. So where's God's presence? If he loves us so much, why are we being kicked around? Why are we being abused? Why Holocaust? Why pogrom? Why Inquisition? People could ask questions like this. In fact, our enemies, for centuries, have been pointing a finger and saying, God doesn't love you. He doesn't love you. Look at you. Look, you're beat up and despoiled. Doesn't love you. In all the cathedrals in Europe, there was two statues on top of the cathedral. There was one big Juno-esque looking goddess, whose name was Christina. And then there was a beat-up statue. His name was Synagoga. That's the triumph of Christianity and the beat-up Jew. So you Google this. It's on all the cathedrals. All the cathedrals. In other words, the Jew is vanquished. Just the Romans said, Judea capta, the Jew is vanquished. And sometimes people feel like that. Sometimes he didn't ask the question of Bnei Shalalim, what's going on over there? HaToivah HaMeitiv was established when we saw the Romans destroyed Israel. No question about that. They razed the whole land. They took us and sent us into exile. They dispersed and scattered the remnants. All true. Question, so God is with us? So you come back after all these years. And after all these years, you see there's still whole bodies. What does it tell you? It tells you we're in exilic times. It tells you God is hiding his face, his countenance from us. It tells us we may not be living the kind of miracles that we hope for, that we will, Be'ezrat Hashem, once again we experience, but we're never alone. God's presence is with us. So we thank Hashem for the land of Israel. Then we have this bracha of comfort. We talk about Yerushalayim. We talk about the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara in Yerushalmi says, when Beitar was destroyed, it says, Nigdo Keren Yisrael, the pride of Israel was literally uprooted, totally destroyed. And you know what the Gemara says? Ein atido lachzor, it will not return, ad sheyavo ben David, until Mashiach will come. It's called the son of the Sion of David. And the Gemara says, Lachain samchu eitzel bein Yerushalayim. That's where we finish. Bein Yerushalayim, what's the very next thing? Hatayva hametiv. That even though Gol is a difficult time, in Abir Chatamazon, we acknowledge and we affirm the faith that Jerusalem will rise again, that the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, that in the end, all of the things Hashem promised us will be fulfilled. And all of this, my dear friends, is all encoded into the magnificent text of Birchat HaMazon. And it's all very important. In fact, in the bracha of Nechama, the third blessing, it says, Kol Mishlei Omer Malchus Beis David. If you didn't mention the majesty, the monarchy, the house of royalty of David HaMelech in this bracha, Le'yatzi Dechavasei. Why? Because the bracha is called Nechama. Nechama means God's comfort to us. It says you have a Nechama Gemura Ela Bachzaras Beis David. We will never have true comfort until Malchut Beit David is reestablished. And these are all part of the 19th mitzvah. This is how we fulfill the 19th mitzvah of the Torah. I mentioned yesterday that all of the blessings that we have an obligation to say the brachas on eating even when you're not satiated, and the brachas on eating before we eat, which is all rabbinic, built onto this 19th mitzvah. So another interesting detail is, when you hear a Jew make a bracha, whether it's Birchat HaMazon, biblical Birchat HaMazon, the rabbinically ordained Birchat HaMazon, the brachot before eating, or the other blessings, as we talked about, you should know, Kol HaShomea, whoever hears, Echad Miyisrael Mevarech, bracha, Mikol HaBrachas, Kulon, you hear, somebody make a bracha, Chayiv La'anot Amen, the Rambam says. You have an obligation to say Amen. Why is there such an obligation? The Gemara in Brachas on page 53, side B, tells us the reason. Ki min hachov hamutl aleinu. It is our obligation l'shabeach ulefoer Hashem hanechbad v'hanora. I'm reading to you from a manuscript that was written by the Rambam's son. Rabbi Avraham, the son of the Rambam, wrote a number of response, halach responsa. And he explains based on that Gemara that you should understand that it is obligatory for us. It's a sacred duty for us. B'chol eis shenaskereu, whenever we mention God, we bless God. Or, shenishma zichro, when somebody mentions God, it's our obligation to add, to heap praise to that. Shevach alav, v'romamut, either say, Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo, indeed may the God of Israel bless, Baruch Hashem le'olam amen v'amen, or at very least, la'anot amen acharei hamishabeach. Basically, when you say amen, you say yes, I'm in too. I agree. I affirm the bracha that somebody else made. And all of this ultimately hails from this essential and foundational mitzvah of lahodot lo yisala, of acknowledging and thanking Hashem achar ha'achila, after one reaches a level of satiation. And with this, we'll conclude the 32nd shir of Rambam for today.